have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Shout out D on the track, Paint Music Media, shout out DJ Lee Productions, and I'm Al Cam. But if you a game changer, got my head high, my grind on high, win, lose, or draw, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane, my God is the aim, put me in coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. I'm full court press, I pledge allegiance to the best. Ain't nothing left to give it that reverence that the Father gets. So every day I work the sweat, can get a flesh and other rest. They say go hard or go home, I say just do whatever's best. It's evident I'm blessed and I work like it. Fight like a Viking, fight like a Lycan. The difference is I like it, so I shine like I'm lightning. So I'm going head to head with certain death. Who you liking? Yeah, so it's time for coach to put me in. I'm strapping on my shoulder pads, lacing up my cleats, and then I'm gone with the wind. Like I'm gone in 60 seconds, you can't hold me, you can't check me. Check the memo, check the message running through. Like I'm baddest, I'm trucking whoever's standing in my way. Ain't no way you gon' stop me, you better off to let me in. Cause I go hard, even though they say no way that I could win. Like I'm Brett Favre, I'ma ride this game, my head to the sky. My grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane, my God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Told you once before, my God came to change the game. Different outlook onto life, a different way to play the lane. Now my rushing yards just got rocketing, now I'm so insane. For the kingdom building, now my shot, it cannot be contained. So I'm gon' pray for change, for myself and then what I can. I don't need no euros or no pesos or no money gram. Shout out to Wado, cause I know that he gon' play this fam. The FCA sports camp, game changer, summer jam. I don't need a 100 grand to tell him that they need the lamb. It's heaven, ain't just who I am. Al Cam, this where I stand. Man, I'm gon' play the fist. Hit too deep to turn it quick. It's like I'm out from the trap to turn around, get back in it. Never that, that's fucking insane. It's heaven, did your butt they chain. Like I'm Jack Johnson, the same year he changed his name. So I sacrificed my life for the cause, just to win. And if you a game changer, let me tap my head. You represent God, my grind don't hide. Win, lose, or draw, I'ma ride till I die. I go hard in that lane, my God is the aim. Put me in, coach, and watch me change the game. Cause I'm a game changer, 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 I'm a game changer. Now put me in, coach, now put me in, coach, now put me in, coach. Now put me in, coach, I'ma go hard.
I'ma go hard, I'ma go hard.
I'm a game changer. I'm a game changer.
Good evening, good evening. Oh. All right, glad to be back, everybody. Welcome back to Elation Radio. This is Mr. Cedric on Relentless Pursuit. How is everybody? Hope you had a good weekend. Well, we're back again for one more discussion. And this has actually been pretty good. So these last 2 weeks have been very good. I've been challenged physically, mentally, and emotionally. You know what I mean? And God is still blessing. So It's just awesome. So today is Friday, November 12th, and I just want to go ahead and get started tonight. I'm just feeling really good about our topic of discussion tonight, and I just kind of really want to talk a little bit about just dedicating ourselves to God through our prayers. I don't know, gosh, and I hope this just touches someone tonight, because I meet so many people, so many different types of people, and there's just so much going on in the world today. And I guess, you know, our real connection, you know, the without Him, without God, we, you know, there's no worship. There's no restoration without Him. So I kind of just wanted to touch on that a little bit tonight. But before I do that, I want to bring on my co-host, Jason. Jason, are you on with us tonight?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. You're a little low, but I can hear you just fine. How's your week been? Dennis, trying some other weekends that I've heard about on today?
No, Texas is getting cold, and I'm not liking this. I'm a Texas boy. I like the heat and this cold weather, you know. But I was like, man, come on, okay. You know. Sorry,
Say again.
I was about to say it's beautiful weather here. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you could call an overnight low of 50 cold. So I don't know what you're talking about, because it's supposed to be in the 30s over in Kentucky tonight.
And that's why I'm in Texas, because 30 degrees don't happen. That'll shut us down. What are you talking about?
I know, that's the funny thing. When I moved a little further up north, and then I go over to St. Louis every once in a while, I'm like, man, nah, this is cold. I go to Indianapolis, I'm like, man, this is cold. I go to Cincinnati, I'm like, man, this is cold. I just say, I'm all right in Kentucky. I'm all right.
Exactly.
But that's good. You know, it is funny. You know, it is. It's really funny. And I think that's, oh, my gosh, man. You just brought something to me. But I'm not even going to go into that, talk about our worship. Talk about some of our prayers that are hot and cold. You know what I'm saying? But we're not going to go there. But Jason. Now, I know I was reading the scriptures this week, and I just want to start at our 2 Chronicles 7:1, because, you know, we're talking about, I'm really thinking about praying, you know, our connection with Christ and dedicating ourselves to Christ through prayer. And it just brought me to Solomon's prayer, his prayer of dedication. And then it was 2 Chronicles 7:1 where it reads, "Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house." Man, you know, my thought is a very simple one. And it is, here it is, how God honors our prayers of dedication to Him. You know, God honors that. And who better to speak about than Solomon when we talk about dedicating ourselves to God in prayer? Who better to even speak about this than Solomon as we study in 2 Chronicles, you know? I mean, we know, what are some of the things you know about Solomon? Some of the surface pretty much knows about Solomon, Jason.
Oh, well, the two biggest things was, you know, Solomon's gold. You see movies about it. Indiana Jones is always chasing it. You know, just the riches mm-hmm. that he had, you know, and acquired through his life. And the second thing is just as massive was the number of concubines and women that he also acquired during his lifetime. So when we think about Solomon, I think those are the two biggest things we think about, is just a lot of the physical, the tangible, excuse me, that's the word I'm looking for, the tangible things that he was able to acquire during his lifetime.
You see, And my belief and what the Bible teaches and what I see in the Word of God is that Solomon did one thing that we kind of mimic that today, but not the way Solomon did. And I think we are limited in the things that we produce, the fruit that we bear, because think about this. Today what we do is we a lot of times is we pray, we have these dedicatory prayers where we dedicate our children, all of our ministries. You know, when you get a new church building, first thing you do is you dedicate it to God. Or better than that, some of us, when we buy us a new home, when we move into a new apartment, even when we go and stay in a hotel, we dedicate that space to God. We offer it up as an offering to Him. And what we do is we say, God, I dedicate this to you. We consecrate this, right, to you in your presence. Because, you know, we want to bless this. But how much more effective our prayers can be, right? How do I say this? When we pray, we have to remember prayer is not about us. It's more about Christ than it is us. In other words, like Solomon was, I believe that he was blessed the way he was is because the prayers that he offered up to God, he dedicated everything to God, but not for his own self gain, right? It was really showing a great deal of submission to God and his plan for his life. In other words, Solomon was offering up, he was submitting to God's will for his life. Whatever God's idea was, whatever God's plan was, God, whatever your will is, I'm giving this all to you. And so some of us, when we pray, we lack that. You know, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I think a lot of our prayers are very, to your point, me-focused. And Solomon is a great example of what it really means in that scripture, you know, to gain the world, you die to yourself. You know, his prayers was about all right. God's will in his life, was about, okay, God, you know, if you think about what he asked for, I mean, it was funny. I just got through watching this movie, and in the movie, the villain can answer anybody's wish that they want and to hear the various wishes that people were making, right? When Solomon had a similar opportunity and God said, whatever you want, I will give to you. If you think about what he asked for, right, he didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for fame. He didn't ask for money. He didn't ask for power, you know. All he asked was for wisdom. And if you really dive into what he was asking for, it was like it was really about I want to know you more, right, because he understood that his own human wisdom and understanding could never get him to that relationship. And I think when he asked for that wisdom, it was more so he recognized that with my human brain, I can only stand so much, but with your divine intervention, if you bless me with this wisdom, I can understand you in the level that I would never be able to understand you. And the heart, to your point of submission and commitment to, I want to know your will and not just on a surface level, but truly know your will through the wisdom that you provided me is a reflection of, you know what where he was and his dedication to God. And you see how he was blessed. And what God said, he's like, well, because you asked for that, let me do this for you, and in addition to. And, you know, and I think that goes a long way when you talk about dedicating yourself to God and doing it through your prayers.
And that's the thing, because if you follow Solomon, and here's the thing, how can we get our prayers to where you're talking about, David? I mean, Jason, I called you David, must be. but how can we get there? And I tell you, I believe that Solomon was able to do that because he understood the covenantal promises that were made to his people. They came through his bloodline. He understood those promises, right? Think about this. We often talk about the temple, but people don't really realize the temple back then was That was the fanciest place you could go, right? And so you know how as a culture, it used to be on Sunday, you put on your best clothes. As a matter of fact, you put on your Sunday best. You remember that? Are you old enough to remember that phrase, Jason? Your Sunday
yes.
best?
Yeah, put on your Sunday
so,
best, yep.
So, yeah, so you know that your Sunday showed up and you put on the best that you had, your best cologne, your best suit, your best shirt. I mean, you took time to make that outfit for church. You took more time getting ready for church than you did for the club. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
And so every Sunday it was like you were going to someplace special. That's the way they treated the tabernacle in that day. That's the way they treated it. And so Solomon taking that into his life, and I guess the thing is, you know, dedicating ourselves to God through our prayers, that's the way we should treat our prayers with God. But check this out. What Solomon did is yes, all the ornamental things. He understood his bloodline. He understood the promise that was made through his family, for his family's sake, for the Jewish people. He understood that. And what he did was, here it is. He aligned himself with God's will. I mean, he aligned himself with what God had for him. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm gonna say like this. This is something I used to say. I used to always say, if you want to be successful in life, right? If you want to find your true purpose, your true calling, then align your dream with what God has for you. Now check this out. Now, how does that work in this? When Solomon reached out to God, he reached out to God in confidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew what he was doing. He was anchored securely in God and the truth that God had upon his life. In other words, God's promises. And so with Solomon, I believe that what he did was he aligned himself with what God had to say. You know, don't you think it's strange how when you align yourself with the Word of God, your changing kind of starts to change? Your thinking starts to change? The way you act starts to change? When you truly study the Word of God, why? Because you cannot invite God into a situation without him just changing you. He takes over that space. And I think that's what's hard for us a lot of times, Jason, because a lot of us, we're not ready to completely give over our hearts, our will, and our thoughts to Christ. We're just not willing to do that the way that Solomon himself did it. So I think what he was doing is he aligned himself with God's will. I think in verse 17 shares with us, you know, how what he did was he praised and he honored God, right? And what he did was he stood up on the will of God, right? And the way he stood up on the will of God was he referenced God's words and everything he said. Ain't that something? How many of us? Mm-hmm. How many of us actually acknowledge that from our heart? You know,
I think that. I think when you're talking about standing on the Word of God, it's. I love how Tony Evans says it. It says, "What does God have to say about it, and do I believe it to be true?" And I tell people all the time, you know, like, you know, you have your way, I have my way, but what's God's way? And, you know, and I think we have to stand by his word and not, I love how you always say it. It's like, if I add, subtract, or take anything from the word of God, I have just not made it. I have just changed it. And we need to be really listening to the word of God and not trying to adjust it to what makes us feel good, not trying to adjust it to the things that we wanted to say and how we want it to be. Right. But really to say, okay, God, if this is your word, you know, I'm going to follow it. And it's an interesting thing that I typically, you know, when I'm dealing with people, I tell them all the time, I do a lot of stuff I don't want to do. And they get shocked. They're like, why would you do that? Because it's like, well, if God has called me to do it, I don't have to agree with it. I don't have to like it. I just got to know God has called me to it. And because I trust him, that's why I do it. And you know, and I trust him in the words that he has to say to me, you know. And I think that's a that's a big challenge for people, because you know we're brought up to be like, no, you got to do what you have, you know, you got to live your best life. That's the big thing out there nowadays, living my best life, right? And it's like, no, man, it's not about living my, because my, what I realize is my best life is when I'm living for God, and that's why I tell everybody, my best life is when I start living for God.
See, you said something right there. Think about this. When we are, like what Solomon was doing, Solomon, his faith, he had total faith in the promises of God. And you say, living my best life. Is it even possible for us to live our best life without God? It's not.
You know my saying, you can't be a good man unless you're a godly man. So I definitely agree with that. You cannot live your best life without God.
Because that is, that's what's so ironic about what we do in the world. We'll take this godly concept, apply it to the superficial world. We'll take this permanent solution to some things, and we'll apply it to this temporary situation that we live in that we call life here, and then we'd be okay with it. You know what I'm saying? We have so many different ways of, and I hate to say it like this, because I'm not, I'm telling you, I'm a human being. I'm a man who lives on earth, but we have a way of perverting those things of God. But what Solomon did, and when you think about him keeping and understanding those promises, isn't it easier to deal with conflict when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is taking care of you? That you know how we say and we read, the battle is already won. You know, if Satan knew what he was going to unleash on this world by basically crucifying Christ, if only he knew what was going to happen when that happened to Christ, he never would have done it, right?
Oh, exactly. You know, he would have avoided it. Yeah.
Yeah, at all
definitely
costs.
Would not have been part of this plan.
Yeah, so one of the things is when we connect with God, when we start trying to dedicate everything to God, and we start to pray about this, and we got to understand what we got to do is we got to submit to God's will, right? And we got to understand the covenantal promises that we read about in the Word. You know, we have to understand that, and Solomon wholeheartedly understood that. And again, as I think about my prayers, man, sometimes I want to sound so eloquent. The other times, I'm lazy and I don't really care. There are other times I don't really know what to say. And I, you know, my thing is when we talk to God, we should talk to God. There is a way we can talk to him, and there's a way we should always speak to him. And so I like the way that Solomon was doing it. I like the way when you read in Second Chronicles, I like the way he dedicated everything to God. And what was the one thing you said earlier, Jason? The one thing that Solomon asked for when God gave him a chance, like you said, you referenced Wonder Woman 1984, you referenced that movie?
Yeah, that movie where the guy would give wishes, and when Solomon had the same thing. I love the fact he just asked for wisdom. That's all he asked for.
Wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
And doesn't that line up with God's will? And what did God? What was God's reply to him?
I don't remember the exact words, but he just celebrated the ask, you know. And then on top of that, he decided, I'm going to bless you even greater than what you even asked for.
See, Solomon said, I just want wisdom. I just want some wisdom. I want to know stuff. I want to know do right from wrong. I want to know if I. Yeah. And God says, because you asked for that, This is the point. This is what I want to point out. Solomon asked for a gift that wasn't about Solomon. How many of us, when we go to pray, we pray, and I don't want to make anybody feel guilty, but we pray a selfish prayer. It's all about us being uplifted. God, if you bless me to be a millionaire, then I'll bless my family. God, if you take this off of me, then I'll do this for you. See, if you really want that, if you really want that effect of dedicating yourself to God in your prayers, it can't be selfish. And Solomon understood this. Solomon understood it because as we read in Chronicles, in Second Chronicles, you find that he, when he prayed, he approached it with such confidence. I mean, he knew that he was anchored in God, and he sought God's presence. Man, he knew that God had blessed his bloodline, and he sought God's presence because he knew where he was going. Ain't that something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a big deal to me. That's a big deal to me because sometimes I believe we as Christians today, we feel like, well, that promise ain't for me. My family is this. My family is that. But have we not all been, once we're saved, once we believe, isn't the covenant, the promises of God, aren't they available to us, to everybody?
Now, that brings a question to my mind, right? You know, we talk about how, you know, Solomon stood behind this covenant. And so the question you ask really reflects on me. You know, what covenant do we stand behind as we're not, you know, most of us aren't Jewish, right? And, you know, my understanding is that the covenant was made with Abraham and his bloodline, which is the modern day Jewish people. So here I am, a non-Jew, and I want to be like Solomon and stand in that covenant promise, you know. So what covenant promise can I stand behind, you know, not being a blood Jew?
Yeah. What covenant do you stand behind? Well, I think a few of the things we have to consider is that, how do I say it? I'm at a loss for words for a second, but I understand. First, when we think about that, yes, when you read in the book of Ephesians, you find that Paul teaches that the Gentiles were not natural recipients, right, of the covenants, right? One of the things that you said about being Jewish, a Gentile simply means you're not Jewish, first and foremost. But what happens is this right here. I'm going to break to a scripture for us because I believe that God made provisions for us. And if you go to Genesis 12 and 1, Let me pull up Genesis. It says, now that the Lord said to Abraham, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And then it goes on to say, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in here it is, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So we find that we are, for lack of a better way of saying it, that we are adopted into this. And here it is. And adopted, I like where we find that we are adopted, but here's how. And this is the thing that I need for people to understand. That's why it's important for us to have this one-on-one relationship to Christ. That's why it's important that when you dedicate yourself to God through your prayer, this is why it's really important, is that relationship. We're adopted in by our faith. through our faith we're adopted in. In other words, the Lord promised that he would extend the blessings, everything that he assigned to the Jewish people, that he would extend those blessings out into all the world, right? And the way that we are adopted in, the way we access them is through our faith. Faith is so important. Think about this right here. Romans 11:17 says, but if some of the branches were broken off and you were being a wild olive, were grafted in among them and become a partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree, okay, it says, do not be arrogant toward the branches, but if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you. Listen, just like that example there, Gentiles are grafted into the promises of God, but we're grafted in by our faith. I think that is how these promises are extended to all of us. The New Living Translation says, the New Living Translation, Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. See, so Jason, to answer your question, that's how the promises of God are extended out to all of us. His covenant with Moses, his covenant with David, that's how we get access to it. But I want to stress the point that we are adopted in, but again, it's through our faith. Just like in the Bible, it says your faith had made you whole, okay? When Jesus said that to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith, so we were adopted in that way. And I tell you what, if you look back at David, you find that David understood this, right? He understood this whole thing, and he understood that it was God's presence. You know, he understood that in God's presence, he wanted to abide in the presence of God. And you find that in, if you really want to know about what David thought about the presence of God, just go to Psalms. Just go read in through the Psalms, and you'll see it's about God's presence. So when we invite God in, we want to do his will. That's how we get there. And I'm sorry I went on and on with that, Jason, but, I want it to be simple, but I really want it to be thorough and letting people know that this is how it happens. Because a lot of us, now, have you ever met somebody who speaks to people about the Word of God, but he speaks to people who believe in these alternative facts about the Bible? Their views about God are swayed left and right. Well, we can't allow that to enter in. You know, we have to approach God's Word with conviction and understanding. And the way we get there, let's say we don't go to seminary, or we don't study as much as we should. The way we get there, again, faith, that relationship with God. So, I don't know. That's all I got to say on that, man. Did you want to add a point in, or did I answer your question, Jason?
Oh, no, you definitely answered my question, and I definitely love the fact that, you know, although we may not be blood heirs of Abraham, covenant, what God has given us the ability to, and I think honestly, you see it all the time, right? If you are a part of a family and you're that blood, you take for granted that relationship. But when you have to not really earn, but you know that, you know, your access to this family comes from something other than what you were born into, it gives you a greater appreciation. So I tell you, you know, not being Jewish, everybody only like, well, I don't know if that's fair. Why do they get everything? I'm like, man, I get to love God not because he's my blood relative, because he gave me an opportunity. And I'm going to love him in a way that a blood relative can't, because they know, hey, you're my blood, and that relationship stands in itself. I get to love him in a way that you don't get to see that. So I love the fact that he's given us an opportunity through our faith, not through what we do, through
yeah.
our beliefs in him and how great he is, that he's given us that. And I think that's an incredible gift, you know. And, you know, so, and I love the word. It wasn't like, yeah, you know, I'll do it for you. It wasn't a promise, right? You know, you talked about this when we talked about covenant. It is a strong commitment, right? Something that
yeah.
is not easily broken or swayed. And I love that God has given us that, and he's made that for us.
And that's the beauty in it. Because, oh, man, like as we talk tonight, as we talk about, when we're talking about dedicating our lives to Christ or to God in prayer, when we look at Solomon and we look at Solomon's prayer, I mean, what do we learn from Solomon's prayer? You know, because when I was, I mean, I would read everything that we were studying, but it's just such a lengthy reading. It's 2 Chronicles chapter 6. It's such a lengthy reading, but when you look at Solomon's prayer, you find that that, how do I say it, that what he prayed about, it applies to the prayers that we pray today. The way we pray today, it actually kind of lines up with that, right? And if we look at Solomon's prayer, we can learn how to pray that the way he did. Now, I'm not a big fan of a one-set prayer, you know, kind of like you say in the Catholic Church, you say these Hail Marys. I believe that when we pray to God, it comes from our heart. But Solomon provides a basic template of what our prayer should contain. And I'll go back and I'll read a little bit of it. But, you know, some of the things he prayed about was repentance from his future acts, right? You know, he praised God and he approached God. He was very humble in his approach to God, but he prayed for genuine repentance. How many of us truly pray for repentance when we pray? How many of us, and this is another thing. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles 6, 22 through 29. And it's important to me. I think it's important. Let me see. I'm going to have to pull it up because I think that this is, I made a note of the of chapter 6, verses 22 through 29. Let me pull that up here real quick because I want to read it. I made it just a quick note because a lot of times, you know, our prayers, it's okay for us to not know exactly what to pray. I think that's good. I think that the more you get to know God, the stronger your bond, the more faith you have in God, you realize that you can pray. You don't have to pray like a Bishop Eddie Long, a T.D. Jakes, what's his name down there in Houston, Jason, that's your neck of the woods these days. You don't have to pray, Joel Osteen. You don't have to pray like everybody else. You know, check it out. Verse 22, it says, watch this. Because Solomon was like, okay, I'm going to do some things wrong in the future. But check it out. It says, when anyone wrongs their, I'm going to change it. I'm going to go to the, I'm in the NIV right now. I think I'm going to go over to the, do I want to do the Amplified? I think I want to do the Amplified. So let's go. It says, if a man sins against his neighbor and he's required to take an oath, and he comes and takes the oath before your altar in this house, right? Then it says, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, punishing the wicked by bringing. My phone is acting up. I was reading it off my phone, not in my Bible. Verse 23 says, then hear from heaven and act and judge your servants, punishing the wicked by bringing his conduct into his own head and providing justice to the righteous by giving to him in accordance with his righteousness, which is his innocence, right? It says, If your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they return to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication before you, and by you, we're talking Christ here, this is the capital you, in this house, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them again to the land which you gave to them and their fathers. And it says, when the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin, when you afflict and humble them, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin your servants and your people Israel. Indeed, teach them the good way in which they should walk, and send rain on your land, which they have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence, if there is blight or mildew, if there are locusts or grasshoppers, if their enemies besiege them in the land of their cities, whatever plague or whatever sickness there is, then whatever prayer or request is made by any man or all of your people Israel, each knowing his own suffering and his own pain, and stretching out his hands towards this house, then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and render to each in according with all his ways, whose heart you know. Look, I'm going to stop right there. All right. Notice in this prayer, remember what I was talking about when I said it can't be selfish? Notice that he's not even talking about Solomon. He's talking about the people. He's talking about God's people, Israel. He has. What's the no greater love for a man than to give his life for his brother? Ah, man, how unselfish is that? Have you noticed a recurring theme sometimes in the Bible? Let's talk about David. Let's talk about Moses. Have you noticed that the recurring theme didn't center around them? I mean, David started out, yeah, you can read and you'll find that he became selfish at times in there. But for the most part, it was for the greater good of all people. You see, when we start to dedicate ourselves to God, we expand our territory. Does that make sense to you, Jason?
Yeah. I think that dedication, Solomon showed it. When we dedicate our life to Christ, we tap into a power and authority that we can't have, right? In Solomon's mm-hmm. dedication to Christ, he tapped into riches and blessings that he could have never got on his own. And I think, you know, when we talk about just aligning yourself with God's will and standing in that and seeking his presence, I think that's what that's about, because, you know, when you're in the presence of God, it's there's just so much blessing and greatness that comes from that.
Right, because like with Solomon, if we include the three most important, I call them basic things, but the most important things in our prayer, if we include this, repentance, right, for what we did wrong. Solomon did it in what I just read in 2 Chronicles, forgiveness, right? You pray for forgiveness, for God's forgiveness. Well, I'm going to tell you something. And then we pray for the blessing, right? Solomon prayed for a blessing, but not for just himself, but for the entire nation. What does that do when we remove self, Jason? When we start talking to people, not about ourselves as leaders. You play football, right, Jason?
Right, yep.
Now, were you ever like a captain on the defense or whatever? Were you ever one of the team captains?
Yeah, I was like a defensive play caller, yeah.
Okay, so as that play caller on defense, what did you do? I mean, what was the thought? When you had to change up a play on defense, what was the thought process? What were you looking at?
You know, of course, you look at the offense, you look at your goals, you look at what you're trying to have happen. You look at how do I put my people in the best position to be successful, you know.
Say that one more time.
You look at how you put your people? You put your best people, you put your people in the best place to be successful. Like, how are you going to get the biggest success if I make this play call? Because there's a lot of times as a play caller, I could have called my blitz, called my number, got all the glory for myself. But then the question is, how does that affect the team? How does that affect those other players? How does it affect those other people? And, you know, and does it put them in the best position to be successful? And I think, you know, in those positions, those are the things that we have to think of.
So I got another question on that line. So when you did that, what happened to your relationship to those people? What happened with your relationship?
Well,
and what happened to your relationship with your coaches?
Obviously, they gained rather trust because what they saw was, okay, Jason's not out for his own glory. Jason's not trying to get call his own number. You know, Jason's looking out for me, and it garnered a better trust and respect. You know, so when I did ask those questions, I did make those calls. They're like, okay, well, we know Jason, and if he had to make those calls, there's a reason why, right? And I think there's a lot to be said when you operate in that capacity. You know, when you're operating in that what I would call a selfless capacity, to allow people to really, like I said, to flourish. You know, that is the biggest thing. How do they help them flourish?
See, and the beauty in it, because look, check this out. When we dedicate our lives to God through our prayers, right, what's going to start happening is that just like in Solomon's prayer, that long series of scriptures that I just read, just like in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we'll find that builds personal relationships. Check this out. Jason, you're a good play caller. It builds a really good relationship and a really good rapport with your teammates, right?
Right.
You gain favor with your coaches, with those above you, right?
Right.
You also gain the respect of your enemies. When you start to pray over these things and you ask God to intervene, you start to win favor with your neighbors. You start to win favor even with your enemies. And even so, here's the important thing. The important thing is you start to build a personal relationship with God. And when you believe, man, you know, like I do, Jason, when you believe in a friend, when you have that strong of a relationship, what won't you do? And Solomon prayed. He prayed that think about this. He prayed that if everybody confess their sins, right? He prayed that God would forgive them, right? Now, in 2 Chronicles, he prayed that God would forgive them and send the rain. But check this out. He also prayed against all the future attacks from all sickness, from all the enemies. And listen, check this out. He prayed this. And he knew that God would hear him. Why? Because he had developed that personal relationship with God. He prayed for people that he didn't even know. And listen, the reason I'm talking about it this way, because it's important, and I get excited about this part, is because, you know, the time is out for us being so selfish. We can't do it. If you really want to do God's will, if you really want to experience his glory. And I'm talking about, man, you can experience God's glory in the simple things in life. How many of us have ever done something? We saw an elderly person, a helpless child, or somebody who truly needed our help, and it wasn't going to benefit us in any way. We weren't going to make no money. We weren't going to get any accolades, but we didn't even think about it. Just something in our heart was tugging at us, and we went and we did this deed. What did God say to you? How did you feel? What did your spirit man say? Have you ever done that, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, when you just step out on faith and just because God said so, right? And you make that, all right, if you tell me this is what I'm going to do, and it's not comfortable. It's never a comfortable act. It's never a comfortable thing to do. But it's one of those things that when we do, we're like, man, that, you know, it just feels so good to do something like that.
See, And that's what I'm talking. See that right there? That's that. I believe that that's that spirit connection we have with Christ. That's that spirit man in us saying, you know what? And the Holy Spirit's talking to us saying, hey, you did a good thing. You did a good thing. Because I'm telling you, I'm a big, big fan of prayer. Again, I the slogan from a TV infomercial where it says, set it and forget it. See, I put my prayers out there and I just forget it. I can leave it alone. I don't worry about it. But why is this important? Why is this important? Listen, when we are continuing to give over everything to God, we're learning to pray. We want to put the right content. We want to say the things to God, and we want to come from the heart. But one of the things I want you to be mindful of, be specific in what you ask for. Solomon was specific. All those things that we just read about in 2 Chronicles 6, Solomon was specific, and him having these specific requests. Look, just like what Solomon was praying for with the tabernacle, what happened when Solomon presented the temple to God? What happened? I'll tell you what happened. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. Basically, look, it says that God's glory filled the temple. Uh-oh. So what's the temple in this aspect, Jason? It's us, right? It's our bodies, right? It's our hearts. It's our spirit, right? Because people say that we are the church. Sometimes you're going to meet somebody, and you're going to be the only church that person has ever known. And look at this. Look at this. If you present yourself a living sacrifice, right, and his glory fills the temple that is you. Oh, man. Remember, I said it before, there can be no praise without God. God invites us into the praise. He's there already. We have to show up to praise. And we are the temple. So when we align ourselves up with Christ, when we put it all on the line for God, when we say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm in my private place, my quiet place, Lord. I'm talking to you. I'm dedicating myself to you through my prayers. What happens eventually? What happens is God's glory will fill the temple that is you. In other words, his man, you'll be excited. You know, God will lift you up. You know, God will answer those prayers. You continue to dedicate yourself to him, right? Just like Solomon dedicated the temple to God and his glory filled it. He will do the same for you. He'll do the same for each and every one of us. It don't have to be fake. It don't have to be rehearsed. It don't have to be staged. Because I'm going to tell you, if it's fake, if it's rehearsed, if it's staged, if it's disingenuous, if it ain't from the heart and it ain't you and God, it ain't real. It's a show. And I'm saying that's how we can get there. That's how we start to pray those prayers. That's how we start to change the world. That's how we start to change our neighborhoods, our classrooms, our households, right? That's how we do it. When we dedicate ourselves to God through prayer, that's how we do it. That's how we come up with it. Because there is power. How many of us have heard this? They say you heard it. There's power in prayer.
Yes, it is so much power in prayer. And what I like about specific prayers, it shows an act of trust and faith. You know, anybody can say, hey, God, bless me to be good. But to pray for something specific, and when you, like you said, when you pray for it, pray knowing that it's going to happen. I love what you say, like, I'm just going to set it and forget it. You know, that's saying, like, I know I said it. God made my petition to God, and I know he's going to deliver. Now, that deliverance may not be the way you want it to be. And I think that's the part that we get challenged by. God, you know, I pray for this beautiful wife, and you send me this woman. And what we don't know is that woman, that beautiful wife that we thought we were going to have, we end up in all kinds of just calamity with her. But this woman is maybe a little bit plain, and the blessing that comes from that union and how God can be really, yeah, truly manifest. You know, so when we pray and we make those specific petitions to God, I think that's a sign of faith, you know, because when you say it, yeah, I love what you said, set it and forget it. It's going to happen. You know, you said knowing it's going to happen, and then you just move on to the next thing.
And see, honestly, that's the beauty in that saying for me, is because growing up, I've been a control freak most of my life. Growing up, I was to the extreme. If you wasn't doing it the way I told you, I want you to do it, right? But I learned to set it and forget it because I remember my first deployment. I prayed that I would make it back to Europe safely, and I was young. I had my 20th and my 21st birthday on that deployment, and so I was a young. I thought I was grown, but I was just a kid, right? I didn't know nothing. And I remember I prayed, and something happened, and I couldn't pray no more because I was unconscious, right? And I was having these terrible dreams. It was horrible, and my life was horrible. But when I was leaving the country, and I volunteered to stay an extra 6 months, but when I was leaving the country, going back to Europe, I was sitting on an airplane. I may have been walking up. I may have been on the tarmac going up the steps to the plane, but somewhere in there, I was either somewhere in that time frame, I was there, and there was a moment when I had this thought, and the thought was a simple one. It basically said, "This is what you prayed for." I was naive. I didn't know, but that's when I basically learned that whole set it and forget it concept. I wasn't quite saying set it and forget it. I was just saying, oh, I just pray about it one time and I'm gone. But then I heard set it and forget it. It just means something to me. But that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we do. We're not to worry about it, because if we worry about it, a repetitive to me, and I know there are times when you just pray the same prayer, but a repetitive prayer, you begging God to move in a situation the way you want him to, again, I think that becomes a very selfish prayer. But when we take it out, where the Bible, where it talks about it, says if we humble ourselves and pray, seeking God, you know, basically, and I'm kind of paraphrasing that, the exact quote from the scripture, I don't think, but seeking God and his will and his purpose for our lives, you know, I believe that he will hear us. God will forgive us. And God will bring healing to us. He'll bring healing to those around us. He'll bring healing to our land, right? And the way you know this, right, the way you know this is because this is the very same promise he made to those of us who dedicate our lives to him. It's the very same promise. Yes. Oh, man, I got looked up. I don't know why I can't think of the whole scriptures. My people will humble themselves. Oh, man, I'll look it up, but I just can't remember the exact wording. But that's the same thing that God did with, that Solomon did with the temple. And so I think that as believers, as we grow in our belief, that it's important that we dedicate everything that touches our lives to Christ. And that means when I say everything, I'm talking about your families. I'm talking about you, the individual, first self. And then I'm talking about our families. And I'm talking about every possession that we own, that we touch, the things that we come into contact with. Why? Why is it important? I'm telling you, it's important to dedicate ourselves, right, first and foremost. Why? Listen, wherever you go, you are. So there's no place you can go that you aren't. And when you're talking to people and when you're trying to lead other people, you know, you have to be in an upright position with God. Remember, you can't be selfish in this, right? Because our first commitment is to God. Not ourselves, but God, right? And the reason why we got to bring our families into this, right, because we need to dedicate our wives. You know, as men, you know, we talk about being the head of the household. Okay, you're going to be the head of the household. And I liken being a husband or father or head of a household to being a pastor, right? You have to be the pastor of that house, right? In other words, that you have to be that connection to God, right? You have to seek God for that family's well-being, right? So we need to dedicate our kids, our nieces, anybody in our household, anybody we come in contact with, but we need to dedicate them to the Lord. We need to say, God, this is your child. You know, I'm happy to say that I just had my first grandbaby, and when I held him and I talked to my daughter and her husband, that was it. That's what we did. We dedicated him on the spot to Christ, to God, because this, you know, this is not when my daughter would have these Zoom meetings, because the grandparents, we didn't know each other. We hadn't met, right? And she would always ask me to close out in prayer. you know. And I always prayed that this baby would bring a healing, that this baby would be healthy, but more importantly, this baby would be a source to bring the families closer together as friends and family, as opposed to acquaintances or enemies. You know, not a source of strife, but let, you know, this is a baby. He can be the source of these families being connected. You know what I'm saying? He can bring that joy in. And then I started thinking about the things that we do, the things that we do. You know, we cannot put things above that relationship with our families. Because keep in mind, I want to say this. And actually, you can chime in if you want. I know we only got a couple of minutes left. And I'm going to make this really, really quick. But we can't have possessions more valuable to us than our families. We can't. Why? Because that's not what Jesus did for us. Right? And so what happens when we do that is we have to. There's no other way. If we're going to be selfish, we kind of push God to the side. Next thing you know, we're putting God in the closet when we leave the house. We need God everywhere we go. And then finally, the last thing we got to do is we got to dedicate everything that we have, everything that we own, our possessions. You know how we do it. We buy an expensive ring. First thing we're going to do, or an expensive watch, or an expensive piece of jewelry. First thing we're going to do is go get it insured in case it come up missing. Right? Well, why not purchase that insurance from God? You hear me? Why not get that insurance from God? And it ain't even called insurance. It's called assurance. Let's get that from God so that he can continually bless us. And the way we get to this point, oh, man, the way we get here is because we dedicate our lives to God through our prayers. And I'm telling you, when that spirit man gets full, when the glory enters into your temple, that is your body, that is your spirit, I'm telling you, everybody around you is going to be able to see it. Everybody around you is going to understand it. They're going to notice that. And I think it's important that we really take that in. We got to inhale that. That's something we have to eat, sleep, and breathe. That is a part of us. And so that's really important. And so I just want to say thank you for listening, but I also just want to also encourage you, man, it's okay if you don't read the Bible every night. I would say go read the Bible, but you know what? You may not even understand it. And if you don't understand the words in the Bible, go get you a Bible that you can understand. The Amplified Version is good. The New Living Translation is a good Bible. Go and get the basic knowledge. Read it in words that you can understand. Not everybody can read King James. Not everybody can read the New King James. But just go and read the Word and let it permeate in your spirit. And the last thing you should do, the first and last thing I believe you should do is when you wake up, you should pray. It don't have to be a long prayer. And you can start to make sacrifices and do the longer prayers, but at least pray, just thank God, ask for forgiveness, repent of your sins, right? In the morning, when you get up, and at night when you go to bed, that's what you should be doing. So that's just my recommendation. Jason, before we close out, you got anything you want to say? We got about 30 seconds.
No, just the same thing. This is a conversation with God, and let's just keep talking, you know, because he's always want to listen. You know, so I always just keep that in mind. We're just going to keep talking because God always wants to listen.
Okay. Okay, with that being said, you know, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. I just want everybody to understand that we don't have to have a go-between us and God. We have our relationships, and we need to work on developing that relationship. I tell you what, you develop a great relationship with God, it can help you develop a better relationship with people. So with that being said, tonight, I want you to find something you love, all right? Find a prayer closet, you know. Open up to God. Let him show you, all right? I want you to embrace it and chase it, and that is your relentless pursuit. This is Minister Cedric and Jason saying thank you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again on next Friday. God bless you.
God bless you.
Sister Kimmy, if you will, Key to Music. We love you.